take a short lifestyle detour from the news of the world. Here's Jenna Barr and the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The views and opinions expressed here on the Pensacola Expert Panel are not those necessarily of News Radio 92.3 1620, but those of Terrence A. Gross of Gross & Schuster, attorney at law.
Panel. Good morning, Terrence. How are you?
Good morning.
It's a beautiful morning, I have to say. What's going on with you this morning?
Well, I'm here to talk the law with the public, and I enjoy doing it. And we will talk about a topic that we haven't discussed, I don't think. If we have, it's been a long time. I want to talk about animal liability, but if someone wants to call in about that subject or any other personal injury subject, what is the phone number that they can call you or text for a question?
Absolutely. If you would like to give us a call, 437-1620, or you can text in if that's easier for you, as long as you're not driving, 437-1620.
Well, good. And I'll certainly, most people know who I am by now. I've been in Escambia County practicing law for 41 years. It's hard to believe it's been 41 years. Don't feel that old, but I guess I am. I'm proud to say that I have both my sons in with me now and my son-in-law. So got some young blood in there to help me out with lots of energy. We have five offices throughout the panhandle. Our primary office is here in Pensacola at 434-3333, but we're now in Milton. We're in Crestview, we're in Fort Walton and Navarre. And anyway, I want to talk about animal liability, and I'm picking that term very carefully. We probably do more dog bites than any law firm in Northwest Florida, and each lawyer's always got several going. Now, truthfully speaking, there's a lot more car wrecks than dog bites, so 90% of what we do is car wrecks. But again, we do a lot of dog bites as well. But when I say animal liability, the reason I'm bringing that up is what I've seen in the past 10 years is a tremendous move by insurance companies to intentionally limit the liability for dog injury cases, whether it's a dog bite or otherwise. So they're doing two little dirty tricks. One is you got your typical homeowners that everybody pays for. It's got hurricane, it's got fire and theft and all kinds of things, and you assume it would have dog liability. Some of them do, some of them don't. And if you don't ask, you may come out to be very surprised if a claim's ever made. So, for instance, with me, I live on the water in Gulf Breeze. I pay $10,000 a year for my homeowners. And when I renewed this year, I asked my agent, I said, well, do I have dog liability? He goes, let me see. And he goes through himself, goes, no, you don't. So even he didn't even know. He's trying to fully cover me, and there's a gaping hole. Now, we have a lab, and if a burglar broke into our house, our lab would go up and sniff around for a treat, you know, hoping that they can get a treat from the burglar. So my dog would not bite the burglar, would not bark at the burglar, just assume each and every human being's a friend.
Well,
that's my dog. So, but I still want dog liability for some unforeseen act, so I had to pay an extra premium. They found another company where I bought $100,000 of dog liability for like $200 a year, and I have it. But so the question is, you may think you have it and not have it. Then another little dirty trick, let me just give you a real-life story that kind of makes my point. Years ago, I represented a young lady that worked in one of these little tiny doctor's offices in Shalimar, over there in Fort Walton, which is a real nice neighborhood. So for lunch every day, she'd ride her bike for exercise. So she'd ride her bike, instead of just eating lunch or whatever. And she was going around a cul-de-sac, and there's these two kids she saw playing in the front yard with like a golden retriever. And the dog saw her and growled and ran at her, bit her ankle, and she fell off the bike and was injured. Well, it was a very nice home. We did find out the coverage, and and wrote for the policy, and these people who were affluent had a $300,000 liability policy, which sounds good. But if you kept on reading, they then had a writer on it that said, but we only pay up to $25,000 for dog injury cases. So even though they had a $300,000 regular liability limit, if you broke your leg, tripped and fall, or whatever on the property, they limited the liability to only $25,000 for dog injuries. So that's all we could get from that policy was $25,000, even though my client's injuries were greater than $25,000. So that's where it gets frustrating. The other frustrating thing about doing dog bites or animal liability is this. If you have a car wreck, if you've ever been in a car wreck, you know that one of the first things that happens when the policeman or the highway patrolman comes to the scene, he comes to your window, and what does he say? License, registration, insurance. And you give them all three, and then there's an accident report that's created, and any lawyer that gets the accident report can see the defendant's name, the insurance company, and even the policy number. So I never have to contact the defendant. I write, State Farm, I write Allstate, and then we find out how much coverage they have, and we make a claim directly against the company. But with a dog bite, even if animal control is called, in most of the cases probably do involve animal control, they come out, but they don't ask about insurance. They're not police officers. They just get the defendant's name. They may get the name of the dog. They might describe a little bit what happened in the injury, and that's about that, and whether the dog had its rabies shots or was quarantined or whatever. But at the end of the day, they don't ask for insurance. So when a person comes into me and they want me to be their lawyer, I say, well, I probably could represent you. You're injured. It wasn't your fault, but we got to find insurance because lawyers go against insurance companies. So the only way to do it is to write the landowner or call them if there's a phone number available. And some will tell you, and some are nasty, and some will curse you out. Some don't respond. You get every kind of response. And every now and then, once on blue moon, I'd say once or twice a year, we actually have to file a lawsuit against a person because they won't tell us what their homeowners is. And then that usually forces them out, which is stupid, but it forces you to actually file a lawsuit. That's the frustrating part about these cases. But dog liability is pretty much, it's not quite strict liability. I mean, I guess if you went up to a dog and started jabbing it with a stick and it attacked you, then there probably wouldn't be liability. But I think a lot of people think they're bulletproof just because they put up these signs that say, beware of dog, bad dog, whatever. And that's not enough. So I've had so many dog attacks happen on people that were invited to the house for a service call. Your air conditioning guy, your electrician, your plumber, whoever it may be. So you call them because you need them. You've got your signs up, but then you go to the front door and you open up the screen and the dog slips out fast and attacks the repairman. Of course, the repairman can make a claim. Your mailman. I've represented mail people that were attacked. They're doing their job. They're supposed to be there. They're not a trespasser. I think if you have a beware of bad dog and you have a burglar that jumps your fence and he gets attacked, well, I don't think there's a lawyer that's going to represent that burglar. But that's a pretty, far-reaching example. So that scenario is not going to happen. But invariably, we do this. I also want to remind the listeners that I have a lot of cases that actually don't involve a dog bite. For instance, a couple years ago, I had a guy riding through the neighborhood on his bike. A dog came out of our front yard suddenly and very aggressively. I mean, just snarling and growling, and charged him, and it caused him to lose his balance. He fell off his bike. He reached out instinctively with his hand, fractured his wrist, ended up in wrist surgery. The dog never touched him. The dog never bit him. Is it a dog liability case? Absolutely.
Oh, wow.
Because but for the dog charging him aggressively, he wouldn't have fallen off his bike.
Right.
So these things happen. I had a case years ago where my lady testified that a dog cut right in front of her on Highway 98. She jams on the brakes to avoid hitting the dog. The guy behind her rear-ends her. I sued the guy that rear-ended her, and ultimately we had to join the dog owner. We found out who the dog was, who owned it. We joined them in the lawsuit. So when we settled, the dog owner had to pay part of my client's injury claim, because had the dog not run out in front of my client, she never slammed on the brakes. But we also got money for the person that rear-ended her, because basically if you rear-end somebody, you're presumed to be responsible under Florida law. Mm-hmm. So there's all kinds of liability out there. Most of the time it's a dog bite, but I've had people that have tripped over a dog. I've had all kinds of scenarios that involves the pet. I've had one cat case, and you're going to laugh. You said, cat? How can you have a cat case? But actually, the cat bit my person in the hand. It wasn't much of a bite, but the hand got very infected, and the person had to actually go and get heavy antibiotics, had to be infused, had to go to the hospital and get an infusion, because they got some kind of, I don't know. It wasn't MRSA, but it was something like that. It wasn't a staph infection, but it was something like that, yeah.
Cats, you don't know what to expect. You always watch, you think about a dog, but you got to watch the cat, right?
I guess. So, that's why I call it animal liability.
Yeah. That's really important to remember.
Let me tell you another story, because, go ahead.
I was going to say, I remember one time, and it was a long time ago, but my kid was actually playing at the park one day, and I was pushing her in the swing. She was maybe 3 years old, and so she was in the baby swing, like those bucket swings, you stick their legs through the little holes and just swing away. And this lady came to the park, and bless her heart, her dog was, I guess, always friendly, but decided to run through the swings. And when the dog ran through the swings, he got hit by the legs of all the kids, and he flipped out, and so he attacked my kid and chewed up her legs. It was one of the scarier moments of motherhood, but we settled it. It was great. We ended up becoming friends, so it was a good outcome. But it's funny, when I was in the hospital with her, she did have to go on heavy antibiotics because we didn't know what could happen. And of course, we had to quarantine the dog in case it had rabies, all that fun stuff. But people actually told me, no, there's no like liability. Basically, if anything happens, you just have her dog taken away and put down. I was like, no, that's terrible. Like, are you kidding me? But a lot of the people that I had talked to were like, no, there's nothing anybody can do. So if somebody's out there and has been maybe given false information, this is really excellent for them.
Well, and I've had that kind of story happen so many times. I had a lady in Crestview. It's it's grandma that was just pushing her little granddaughter in a little cart, for walking around the neighborhood, mm-hmm. in a stroller.
Yeah.
And a pit bull got loose and is charging at him. And Vic was attacking grandma's legs, but grandma was more concerned about the baby and didn't really fend the dog off. Was in no position because she was just trying to keep her body in between this dog and the baby. Oh. And that was all her protective interests were doing, and she got mauled. Mm. And we ended up getting policy limits from the home where the dog escaped from. So these things happen. It's unfortunate. I've had, like I said, every kind of scenario you can imagine. I've had three of these so-called dog bite cases go for at least $300,000 in the past several years. Some are a lot worse than others. I had one little lady, a girl, that it took a chunk out of her cheek and left a hole in her face. I mean, it was awful. And they actually had to do I've never seen this procedure before, where they actually took a balloon and implanted it underneath the other tissue and slowly added air just to kind of fill it in and get the cheek to fill in on its own. It was a horrible process.
Wow, that's devastating.
And we got them, and the girl just contacted me. So she was about 8 years old. So we had to put money, once we settled, we had to put it in a minor's type of account for a minor. And she just turned 18, and she just now wrote me a sweetest letter saying to thank me for all I did, that she has all her college paid for now, so she's going to go to college, and she'll have a car to take to college because of that money that we got her, you know, 10 years ago. So, you know, something bad happens, maybe, you know, money doesn't cure everything, but anyway, so that's what we do. But there's all kinds of scenarios. How much time do we have left?
We have about 10 minutes or so. And I actually was wondering, did you mention that there are insurance policies, you said, where you can purchase that protection on your pets, or if something does happen on your property, or how does that work? You had mentioned a little bit.
Well, I'll give you a good example of mine. So with my homeowners, I paid $10,000 for it. And my agent, I said, well, do I have dog liability? And he goes, no. So I actually had to get a separate company, pay them off. I think I paid $220 a year for $100,000 of dog liability. And I know my dog, the odds of my dog hurting somebody are slim to none, but weird things happen. So just for peace of mind, I didn't want to be naked. I didn't want to be self-insured.
Yeah, don't leave yourself out there. Of course. Okay, that's really
important
to remember.
Right. And we do have a lot of kids at my house now. We have, by August, I'm going to have 9 grandchildren. So
awesome.
And they come over, they bring friends or whatever. So weird things happen. And actually, where my dog really could hurt something, my dog is a lab. So if you throw a tennis ball, it's going to go for it. And if you throw one in the pool, it's going to jump in. And actually, it's been a couple times where somebody was throwing the ball and there was already some kids in the pool. And then the dog jumps in and hits one of the kids in the head accidentally, you know. But so weird things can happen. So I just believe in insurance. I don't want the loopholes in insurance. And actually, when you get it, dog liability insurance is relatively cheap. But there are now policies that are excluding. I mean, you'll see we offer dog liability, but we exclude pit bulls, German shepherds, and Dobermans because we know there are certain breeds that are more aggressive. There's certain breeds that are prone to be to attack. Where I've never had a case with a poodle, and I've never had a case with a collie. I've never had a case with a dachshund. But again, you get these cases all the time with pit bulls and the like. Mm. Mostly pit bulls. I'd say probably 80% of our cases are either pit bulls or they got pit bull. A pit bull mix or something, and people say, oh, it was the nicest dog that ever attacked anybody, and boom, it did.
You never suspect it. Even like if a dog or a pet attacks another pet, you've seen that too, right? You just don't know if they'll get out maybe get skittish and freak out. Things happen.
Well, what happens, I got a case right now. I got a little girl that was in Gulf Breeze, was walking her dog in the neighborhood, a big mastiff came out and started attacking her dog. And of course she protectively tried to, intervene. And that's where she got bit. She got bit because she was protecting her dog that was getting chewed up by this mastiff.
Aww.
And so that happens all the time. I've just seen, like I said, I've seen everything. I've seen every scenario you can. But again, we try to pursue either the owner of the property, could be the renter of the property. A lot of renters don't have the appropriate insurance, and we end up going against the owner. There is a law out there that protects the owner to some degree, so it really depends on your facts. But it seems like a lot of these cases are where there's a defective fence. I mean, we see a lot of defective fences, either it's an old wooden fence and it's rotted out at the ends, or the dog could dig out, or, just pieces are missing and the dog gets out. Well, then there's liability for sure on the owner, because it's the owner's fence. And even if it's a renter's dog, had there been a fully functional fence, the dog wouldn't have gotten out. And we have a bad case in the Milton area, or actually in Gulf Breeze, way down to near Navarre. And the owner had it was a gated yard, a fenced yard, but the front gate was one of those gates that it didn't go flush, so it was big enough for any dog to just walk right through. Mm-hmm. I mean, and he was on notice. The dog had already escaped before and hurt a neighbor, and this happened a couple weeks later. So we did sue the owner on that particular case.
Wow, that's you just don't know you can't. predict the future, or else we'll probably all be freaking out, right? But it's important to protect yourself and then have the right law firm on your side when it comes down to these types of situations.
And I've had a lot of these cases where it's relatives, you know, because, you know, they're at your house, it's your relative. And then people get a little skittish about that, but that's why you buy insurance. So I've had a few, and we had one where basically I felt we should have got more money, but we got the insurance company up to, it was an okay settlement. It wasn't where I wanted it to be, but my clients wouldn't let me sue. It was her sister's dog, and they just wouldn't let me sue the sister, even though I explained that we're really not suing her sister, we're going after insurance. But she said, it wouldn't bode well for Thanksgiving and Christmas if I sue my own sister.
Right. So that might make it a little awkward over the pumpkin pie.
Exactly.
But people don't realize, and I've been reading up on this a little bit more, is that, you know, you're not going after the little elderly lady with her dog, or the family with the dog, or the person in the car. That you're going after the insurance company and what is owed to you to help you recompensate for what you lost, or something that you just, you know, you didn't have before. You didn't have the money to cover that situation, especially that story about the little girl and her face. I mean, that's just traumatizing. So you want to be very careful and be prepared.
And that little girl, the dog that bit her, was her uncle's dog. She and her family had gone to her uncle's house for some family event, and it was her uncle's dog. And he was saying, get whatever you can get. He felt so bad. I mean, he felt horrible about what happened. And he had no problem with us pursuing his insurance because he wanted his niece to get compensation. And I'm the same way. I mean, if something happened at my house and you got hurt in some way, I want my insurance to pay you. I don't want you to get shafted. In fact, I'll be honest with you. I had an insurance company that paid after Ivan. So it paid my Ivan hurricane claim, which was monstrous. And then about a year or two later, I had an old uncle, and he actually tripped and fell on my front steps. And I just gave him my name of my insurance company. So if you went to the ER, just to use it, because I also have something called MedPay, you know, medical, to pay his medical. And when the insurance company called and says, you gave our name to him? I said, yeah, I mean, why wouldn't I? And they got mad and they canceled me. They felt that I was conspiring against them. I said, hey, he got hurt in my premises. That's why I buy insurance. Right. And they didn't like that answer. So they canceled me.
Well, I mean, I think that's their loss. Just in listening to you in the past and getting to know you, I think that's their loss, because you definitely know your stuff. Now, we have about 3 minutes left, and I just want you to just reiterate, you're listening to Terrence A. Gross, and we're just talking about animal liability and the endless amounts of scenarios that could happen, whether you're walking a dog and you could get attacked or bit or maybe startled and fall off your bike, and the importance of protection for yourself and for your family or for your property if it happens on your property. So just give them a little bit more of why it's emphasized that this is needed.
Yeah, and I think if you own rental properties, it behooves you to have some type of liability on that. You probably already have homeowners anyway, because for hurricanes or whatever, I would make sure you have liability for the dogs that may be on those premises, just to have full protection. But if you need to call us, our phone number locally is 434-3333. We also have a very good website. A lot of lawyers I've noticed on the websites, they're bragging. We got this $1 million verdict. We got this $700,000 settlement. We don't do any of that. We don't do that. But if you went to our thing, it's informative. You'd see all kinds of pages. But we actually had 3 or 4 pages devoted to dog bites and so forth. You should take pictures immediately. I've had so many people come in a month later and you said, you should have seen this, you should have seen that. But I've gotten pictures before the doctor sewed them up or put staples in. And down the road, those pictures are pretty graphic, and they tell a different story than looking at some, you know, scar a year or two later. So I appreciate the opportunity to speak to everybody. I appreciate you hosting. I look forward to being on in a couple of weeks. We're on at 10:30, usually every other Wednesday. And